Our first scripture is Isaiah 49, 1 through 9. Listen to me, coastlands, pay attention, peoples far away. The Lord called me before my birth, called my name when I was in my mother's womb. He made my mouth like a sharp sword and hid me in the shadow of God's own hand. He made a sharpened arrow and concealed me in God's quiver, saying to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I show my glory." But I said, "I have wearied myself in vain. I have used up my strength for nothing. Nevertheless, the Lord will grant me justice. My reward is with God." And now the Lord has decided, the one who formed me from the womb as his servant has to restore Jacob to God so that Israel might return to him. Moreover, I'm honored in the Lord's eyes. My God has become my strength. He said, "It is not enough, since you are my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the survivors of Israel. Hence, I will also appoint you as light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Lord, Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, says to one despised, rejected by nations, to the slave of rulers, kings will see and stand up. Commanders will bow down on account of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The Lord said, at the right time, I answered you. On a day of salvation, I helped you. I have guarded you and given you as a covenant to the people to restore the land and to reassign deserted properties, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those in darkness, show yourselves. Along the road, animals will graze, their pastures will be on every treeless hilltop. Our second scripture is John 1, 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, he who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me. Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel. John testified, I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son. The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed him. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, what are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, which is translated teacher, where are you staying? He replied, come and see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter.
Please join me in prayer. God, our great creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this last week, a gentleman in Minneapolis by the name of Garrison Gibson was shuffled around by federal agencies after they detained him without a judicial warrant. He was detained and then released and then detained again and shipped off to a detention center in El Paso and then shipped back to Minneapolis, where he calls home, all in a week. And amidst all of this chaos, and I haven't seen a consistent source of this lament, whether it is family member or community member or neighbor, but someone in the aftermath lamented that this is not what the American dream is supposed to be. And I was listening to a song yesterday, which I also cannot for the life of me remember the title or the songwriter of, but it starts with a line that goes, "The American dream is just that. Open your eyes and it's over." That is a truth that many of us have known, or many of our families may have known for generations. That the story told to our parents and their parents and their parents before them of how great America is, and that being here is the only way that they might have an opportunity to establish themselves financially and to accomplish that beautiful little home with a white picket fence and 2.4 children, has only ever been a story for and achievable by the very wealthiest. The dream today has shifted for young people, no longer having eyes and hearts set on owning homes and starting families. Or maybe they do, but simply need to hold their realities closely, of hoping to simply not need 4 jobs to make rent in a 2-bedroom apartment shared with 2 or 3 or 4 roommates. The invitation at one point in time was to dream about all of the things that you could possibly want to become. And that dream now for so many is to simply survive without needing to struggle, to survive without having to miss living life to make it work, to make a trip to the grocery store or to school or to work, or to simply leave the house without fear of being kidnapped because their skin is the wrong color. In light of all of this complexity, all of this uncertainty, all of this fear, Jesus' question in our Gospel of John is jarring. What are you looking for? This is a question that you ask when you see someone looking for a lost earring or a lost wallet. It is not the question that you ask in a time where everything feels existential. Not a question that you ask when the answer seems obvious. An end to oppression, an end to injustice, an end to state-sanctioned violence and terror. Instead, Jesus poses this question to 2 disciples of John the Baptist, and it becomes an existential question. A question that has the power to reorient our lives and begin changing our world. It is not enough for them to say, "We are looking for the Lamb of God." John has already done that. He has done his duty, and he has identified to his people who is the Lamb of God, and he has done it more than once. And it is through John's testimony, through his voice, through his witness, that Jesus is first recognized publicly. And the impact of that witness is immediately evident when 2 of his own disciples step away and are moved to follow Jesus. And the ripple that he initiates doesn't stop there. When these 2 disciples are confronted with this question, "What are you looking for?" they don't offer an answer, or at least they don't offer one that we would expect. Instead of saying, "We are looking for salvation," or "We are looking for the Messiah," they respond to his question with one of their own. "Where are you staying?" Their response, and what this interaction reveals to us, is that knowing Jesus is not about finding an answer, but it is about following the question. Jesus doesn't tell these disciples, "Oh, I'm staying with my brother down the road." He doesn't give them an address or information about where he's going or what he's doing or who he is or how he spends his time. Instead, he extends an invitation. Come and see. He invites them and us to live and to experience this question. It is a simple question, but not an easy one to answer. What is it that you're looking for? To answer this question requires that we face our deepest desires and longings, feeling our hurts and our losses. It requires that we look at what we have done and what we have left undone and acknowledge the emptiness that we might feel within ourselves. It means that we imagine or dream about a different life, and we inquire about what is of ultimate importance. And it means that we name what shapes and forms our lives. And that is risky and scary and vulnerable. So it requires that we get real and we get honest and we are vulnerable and we are open. And just like we reflect in ourselves, we are also put in that position of needing to reflect on all of those pieces of our communal being, those realities of our being that have never really been accessible for everyone. Are we looking for the healing and the wholeness of our communities and the world to come and see, as Jesus invites us to, requires risk. A risk of our comfort, a risk of the known, a risk of the familiar. And if we cannot break out of what is known and what is comfortable, even if we can see the ways that the known is harmful, even if we can see the ways that the known is built on exploitation and oppression, we will not be able to see. And we will not be able to experience that new life. And we will not be able to experience the new way that Jesus is calling us into. When you become someone's disciple, you live your life with them. You stay where they stay, you do what they do, you follow where they go, and you learn to be like them. In whatever ways we might answer Jesus' question, what are you looking for? His response will stay the same. Come and see. It is the promise that there is somewhere to go and there is something to see and to experience, something to be revealed. Amen.